Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. We're taking your calls on our topic or something close to our topic, let's hope. Mm-hmm. It's 410-662-8780, toll free 866-661-9309. And it's, what is the best dish you've ever had? What is the best meal you've ever had? Your best restaurant visit? Your, you know, the what is that moment, your food and wine moment? What's the best wine you ever drank? And the question that Cindy Wolf has been avoiding for a little while now.
My favorite wine.
Yeah, not your favorite wine. The question, what is the best wine you've ever had?
Oh, gosh.
Not just this memorable wine or that memorable wine.
Okay, I'm going to say the Violette. Bordeaux, of all regions.
Bordeaux that much.
I do like it, but I don't drink much of it. I can't say I don't like it, but Burgundy, Northern and Southern Rhone Valley is a region that I love to go to. But yeah, the Violette, the winemaker is a woman, super amazing. And, you know, it's I think the wine is, you know, barely produced. I mean, I think she makes very few bottles
of
this wine.
Production,
I want to say it's a 2006 that I have in my cellar. And it's absolutely amazing and brilliant wine.
Six.
So that, yeah, and it's hard for me to not mention a champagne as well, you know. But I can't narrow it down with champagne either because, you know, there's just too many of them that I absolutely love. How about you, Tony? What's your favorite
wine,
Tony?
We're gonna take a couple of calls.
Oh, you're just never gonna answer.
We're gonna
any
take
questions.
A couple of calls. Yeah.
Let's
go to Frank in Catonsville.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Frank.
How are you, Frank?
I'm very well. My wife is from Ethiopia, mm-hmm. and she arrived in the United States in 1977 after the Communist Revolution and hadn't returned until the 80s.
Wow.
And when we arrived, we went to her aunt's home, and her aunt knew that I didn't, the Ethiopians don't eat pork, but they knew that I didn't really eat a lot of beef or lamb. And the Ethiopians, they fast quite often during the year for religious reasons. And essentially the meals are, they call them zum, they're vegan. So they have this spread of vegetarian and vegan food that you never see in the United States.
Oh, that's nice.
And they also had, they knew I ate poultry, they had the best Doro Watt I've ever had, and they had 100% taste injera, which it's flown in from Ethiopia every day now, but it wasn't that common back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fabulous meal. And one of the fun things they do is that they have very large peppers that grow, And you stuff the peppers with onion and tomatoes and other things like that, and then you eat them as though you were you just hold them out and just bite off sections of them all.
That sounds great.
It's really fabulous, and it was, as I said, it was beyond food. And I'm an American, African American, she's Ethiopian, and it was just having their true food. And in the States, you generally, there are a lot of Ethiopian restaurants, as we know, in mm-hmm. Washington and
mm-hmm.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
But the best ones are in Northern Virginia, over near the Landmark Shopping Center. There's one called Bati, B-A-T-I.
Oh, good.
Very traditional.
Good.
And just superb, wonderful, sublime kind of meal. I really enjoyed all aspects of it and all this vegetarian and vegan fare that I think some of them are starting to put on their menus.
That's great.
That's very cool. Frank,
yeah.
I remember having an experience with Ethiopian food back in maybe 1980, 81, something like that. And there is a kale spiced with peppers made as a puree. And you eat it with the injera, the bread that you eat a lot of the meal with. And I thought I liked spicy things growing up, but man, that got my full attention. Do you know what that paste is called?
I'm trying to think of exactly what the food is called, but I know that when my wife buys greens and her mother-in-law lives in Virginia, or rather, my mother-in-law, her mom, she makes that, and it is fabulous.
The first time I had it was the spiciest I ever had it. Man, I think my scalp sweat for 8 hours after that.
Right. The Ethiopian food here is definitely toned down for the non-Ethiopians, which is why it's fun to go to the places like that.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Oh,
I love Ethiopian food.
You just have to wear a shirt you're ready to sweat through, I guess.
Right. It's good for you. It's good for you. Thanks, Frank.
Well, thanks, Frank.
It's my pleasure. Bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Debbie in Bel Air that has a favorite restaurant, it sounds like.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you.
That's nice.
And I love your cooking, food, restaurants, everything.
Thank you.
Glad to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. Back in the early 90s, we took a trip up the Finger Lakes and stopped at a restaurant in Seneca. and it was a winery. I had children that were about 8 and 10 years old.
Oh, that's great.
And they really didn't want to go.
Oh,
but I had read about this in Bon Appetit. So they were skeptical, but I learned long ago, my husband and I, that you don't wait till they're hungry. You take them at 11:30 to a full service.
There you go.
So there's a hint. So we got there, and the restaurant was beautiful. It was very white, and that's what I remember. The tablecloths were white. The walls were white. And the food was presented so beautifully. And even though my children were really skeptical, the waitress was great at helping them find something like a pizza, but it was different, and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly what I ate, but it was delicious. And then it came time for dessert, and we had this wonderful fresh fruit cherry crumble. We kind of farmed the table, so it had to be good. And my kids were in heaven.
I bet.
And that's what that's my son said. He said, Mom, if you could taste heaven, I think that this is what it would be.
That's awesome.
That's great.
He's only 10 years old.
That's a wonderful memory.
It is a great memory. We talk about it all the time because of what he said. It was very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And they've grown up to be true foodies. They're fearless, they're creative, and they love food.
And that's
very
thanks to you and your husband. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well done.
Great
thanks
story.
For the call,
all
Debbie.
Right.
Thank you, Debbie.
Good story. Thanks. Bye.
Absolutely.
It's funny, sometimes it's a dish, and sometimes it's an experience, and sometimes it's company and a combination of all mm-hmm. those things, and you have this, like, shimmering memory of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Well, we gather around the table. I mean, I think that's probably the best part of our day sometimes, and, we need to come together as a family or friends and family, whatever it is, and, those are the moments that you end up cherishing for your life.
You know, I was thinking that one of the ways to evaluate, is it really the best dish you ever had? Is if you felt compelled to order it again immediately while you're still sitting at the table.
Mm-hmm.
I know
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite experiences of watching you eat food is at Ma Cuisine, where I told you that she could cook.
Yeah, you kept talking about it, and I never got to eat there.
I told you she could cook.
We finally went.
And I told you what her best dishes were.
Oh.
And thank God you were smart enough to believe me.
and you
tried her pigeon. Yeah, you tried her pigeon.
Yes.
And it's a funny little recipe. But
that is one of the best things I've ever
eaten. But it's magnificent.
There's no question.
And you turned around, like, after polishing it off in about a minute, you're like, is it reasonable? I'm like, of course, let's get another one.
We're going to need another one of those.
Let's get another one of those.
Yeah, Colin. I think Colin and I shared the second one. Let's put that out there. I didn't eat it all by myself.
Yeah, I'm like the...
Oh, that was so good. It's so good. Well, and I would never have thought. I think she rubs soy sauce into the skin of the squab, and I was just, that wasn't what I expected. So it was, brilliant.
She's not from a school. She's just an
brilliant.
Excellent, superb cook.
Oh, she's a great cook. Yeah.
Superb cook.
Great restaurant.
So you can reach us with any of your superlative stories, 410-662-8780, or toll-free 866-661-9309. And I think Cindy has an email there.
I do. This is from Alan, and he says, I've been a wine hobbyist for over 30 years. My most memorable and best wines were in 1983, Chateau Mouton Rothschild, drank in 2002, and a 1982 Salon in 2001 that he drank. And I've kept both empty bottles. Oh my gosh, all I have to do is see the word Salon and I start to get happy. I mean, those are great.
Yeah, the champagne
Salon
on my list
is
definitely Salon, 1976, from Jeroboam.
Okay. Ooh.
From a four-bottle size.
Big bottle format. That
aged
makes it even
beautifully
better.
And drunk with a lot of friends
mm-hmm.
very rapidly because the wine was crazy good.
Very rapidly. That's great.
Very rapidly.
Mm. Thank you, Alan.
consumed in every possible way.
Right. That's good.
Let's go to a call. We have Julia in Baltimore.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Julia.
Afternoon. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't drink much alcohol, and I have only ever tasted about three different kinds of wine, but my favorite alcoholic drink was called a frozen banana, and I drank that in Western Maryland in a little hamburger bar joint along the road, but I can't find it in Baltimore.
Hmm. Wow.
And this was like... they served it to you. It piled about 2 inches above the rim of the glass, and they
awesome.
gave you a straw and a spoon.
Well, there you go.
That sounds like a very pleasing adult beverage.
There
right
you go.
There.
That's awesome.
Yes, and I tried hitting that little spot just as often as I could.
<There you go. laughs> Thanks, Julia.
I might have to make it a mission to come up with
a frozen banana drink.
That's goodness. Good. Thank All you right. very much for the call.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Michael, who is calling in.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. I wanted to talk about perhaps my most unique experience was at the Charleston.
That's nice.
It was these wonderful shrimp that you had, these delicious shrimps, and I not only ate the shrimp, but I ate the shells.
And you ate the head, right? Is that what you mean?
I don't remember if I had the heads or not.
Okay.
But well, the waitress came to me and she said, may I take your shells? And I looked up kind of perplexed because I had eaten them and they were delicious.
That's awesome. And you you may not be from the South, but you sound like you are because a Southerner would.
I'm a Baltimorean.
There you go.
That's awesome.
From the day go.
Good for you. Michael. That's awesome. Thank you, Michael.
That's great. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Suzanne in Ellicott City. She has a favorite meal.
Hey, Suzanne.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I have an incredible sweet white wine in Bergerac, France. Does not travel, but I had visited the vineyard, which is magnificent. And it's a very delicate dessert wine that, as I say, does not travel. I found a bottle when I was in Washington, D.C., and it was not the same. But it was so delicate with a certain crispness that just to this day I can still savor it on my tongue and memory.
It's awfully nice when you have those experiences. It's a shame when they kind of like hang around in your memory and you can't find ways to duplicate that. Mm-hmm. But thank you very much, Suzanne, for the call.
Thanks, Suzanne.
I think people sometimes underrate how great dessert wines and white wines can be, and as some of those things age, it's completely remarkable. There are two different Trockenberg Nachlese's that I've had from the 1951 vintage, not that long ago,
mm-hmm.
that were not that deep in color. They were deep gold, and I bet you have another 50 years of life in them.
That's so great.
But the acidity and the sugar are so high, and the intensity of flavor is so high on those wines.
How proud must they be to make something that would last that long? You just said another 50 years, and it's from 51.
Well, the question
that is amazing.
The question is, how long ago has the winemaker been, departed?
Well, right. It lives on. Yeah, exactly. It lives on after the person. That's amazing. It's like film or book or art. I mean, it's just so nice to make something. What I make doesn't last that long. I would like to make something that lasts 100 years. That's amazing. Maybe a memory.
Here's the other question for you, Cindy.
Okay.
20 years ago, how would you have answered the question, what's the best thing you've ever eaten?
How many years ago?
20 years ago.
Oh, boy. It would have been something that my mother made, probably. But 20 years ago, it would have been a different... you're right. I mean, that's a very thoughtful thing to say because... I mean, my palate has changed so much over 20 years. A lot of travel to Europe has really changed the way that I work as a chef and the things that I make as a chef, to put it very plainly. And it has been a great influence on me, and I'm very thankful for every trip we've ever been on I've ever been on, because it has influenced me greatly. So I would say 20 years ago, probably the food would have been more American that I would be thinking about. Now what I think about is really deeply rooted in French cooking.
What's cool is you're an American chef, so that's part of your trajectory and development as an American chef with other experiences to build on. I think in our country, it's always a bit of a shame whenever anyone excludes the idea of something coming from another culture, or that's not from, when it's an American finding it and sharing it and working with it.
Mm-hmm.
A whole nation is melting pot.
Sure.
Nation, our cooking
Thank
is
goodness.
Melting pot cooking.
Mm-hmm.
All the most interesting things usually are combinations. It's some tradition from a place blended with another place. Most of the food destinations in the U.S. that you think of immediately are like people on the short list of people's thoughts of where to go to in the U.S. are like New Orleans or San Francisco. Immediately, there's 3-4 cultures that blend for a long time with strong roots in that place. But that to me is an American thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think also I was fortunate that my mother, I grew up with a mother that absolutely cooked with the seasons and respected that, and as did her mother, my grandmother. And, you know, just it wasn't really something that she ever thought about. It was just the way that she worked. She would always, you know, we would always have fresh vegetables. We would always have fresh fruit. We would always have pastry for dessert. She was a very good, she is a very good cook. And, you know, I'm thankful that I grew up that way, because I wouldn't be a chef if I hadn't had the parents that I did. So, you know, those are things that, you know, last forever and will always be with me, is the things that I learned from my mother and my grandmother. And my father was in the food business. So, you know, I had a lot of amazing experiences eating out because of my father. And, you know, you say what, you know, 20 years ago, I mean, I would now think back to even things that I had at the Whitehall Club in Chicago, or Le Pirquet in Chicago, which would have been food that I ate in the 70s even. You
this
know?
Is all data gathered over time. And you it's not
it
an active
everything
memory,
that
but
I
it's
do.
There.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing that, so I'll go back to the question that you claimed I was
good.
Avoiding.
Yeah, please do. Answer the question.
So that I would name two wines.
Good.
As the greatest, because they had the most impact on me. One, I had back in the day at Restaurant Jean-Louis, I took the bottle of wine with me that he allowed me to bring in.
That's great.
It was not a French wine. It was an American wine. It was a California Cabernet Sauvignon. It was BV's George Latour Reserve.
Oh, gosh.
1969.
Wow.
And the wine was spectacular. And all of my training and all of my background had been in European wines. And to have an American wine that was this, that was, absolutely was my epiphany, that made me blow up everything that I had been taking from books and really let my senses take over, was giant. And I can still taste that in a second.
Sure.
I can picture the room. I can picture everything going on around it.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing was a chance to taste 1920 Dufour Vivaine at Burns Steakhouse. And it was probably the most fascinating 15 minutes of smelling and tasting wine I've ever had. And if it was the best, it was because it was maybe the most excited, because I could picture the wine still had amazing bones and it still had a lot to tell, but only so much voice left, and was remarkable. And I could picture everything about it.
Very good.
Well,
thanks for answering the question.
You're welcome. That's all we have time for today on Foreman & Wolfe on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolfe, thanks for calling in today. That
Thank
was great.
You.
It was
Thank you very much.
Very fun for us.
Have a good day.